We're joined now on the air by Dr. Deb Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School professor and sports commentator. Big, big weekend for sports, both nationally on the professional level and also locally for UNC. Big victory for Tar Heel basketball. We've got another game coming up tonight. Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us. Before we start in with the on the field and on the court stuff, though, I want to talk about Martin Luther King Jr. Day and the relevance of Dr. King's legacy to the sports world today. I know we always talk about the importance of sports in society. You always say how important sports can be and athletes can be to making a difference and furthering the causes of justice and equality, all of the causes that Dr. King stood for throughout his life. But we don't necessarily use that power the way that we could. So what would Dr. King say today about sports, the sports industry, the way that we use the power of athletics?
Well, it definitely is a very, very important day for the country. And I just love how during this day in particular, a lot of people take the time to read his work, to actually engage in activities that bring people together. I was very blessed to be a part of the service today over at First Baptist Church, and the ministers and the speakers talked about the rainbow, the young and the old, all different ethnicities, races were there together, celebrating this great man. But, you know, Reverend King, he did play a little baseball, a little bit of football, but really his gifts that were given to him and what he continued to nurture was his brilliance around religion, around bringing people together, about fighting for the oppressed. So sports weren't really a big focus for him, although there were two noteworthy events where he met with Muhammad Ali back in Louisville, when it was during that very, very difficult time in our country around the opposition to the Vietnam War. And it wasn't too long after that meeting with Ali that he gave that major speech denouncing our incursion in Southeast Asia. Another key moment was many people see that iconic photo of Jim Brown and some of the top black athletes at the time when they met with Dr. Harry Edwards, really trying to figure out the movement and its place within the Olympics. And there was no doubt that the guys were discussing Ali's boxing license, it being removed. And then the Olympic head at the time, Avery Brundage, he was definitely a very, very controversial leader. I think if anybody watched the movie around Jesse Owens, it talked about Avery Brundage, how he really used the black athlete and the Olympic spirit for the United States to be engaged with Hitler's Olympics at the time. But they were discussing those things, and Reverend King actually joined that meeting in New York in 1967. But overall, looking back now, I would say that one of his very, very profound quotes is, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And so I started thinking about the ways in which sport, professional and college, where there are people out there who believe that there are injustices that are happening. I'll start off with looking at being a part of the national championship this year, taking students down to Tampa and watching Clemson win that championship. But there are many, many people across the world who feel that college coaches and administrators, in particular the NCAA, they're profiting off of black labor. Dabo Sweeney, he got a $700,000 bonus for winning the title. So that's one area where Dr. King might have spoken up about it, or would speak up about it. The safety issues in health. We've got the concussions, we got the CTE, the brain disease, degenerative brain disease, and the violence in particular in football. Maybe we need more money in research, and that's what Dr. King would advocate for. And then we can always talk about the lack of black owners, administrators, and coaches. I'm a firm believer that for young people, you can be it if you can see it. And we certainly need more black role models in the world of sport. So those are just three things that I would mention that possibly Dr. King would speak up about if he were alive today.
Do you think we take advantage of black athletes, especially on the college level? And I just said black athletes, but athletes in general, really.
Well, this is an ongoing discussion. There's definitely reasonable thought on both sides. I think the most important thing in terms of where I feel this is going There's no doubt there's exploitation. Mm-hmm. And so now what we need to define is what is exploitation. I am a firm believer based on the history of America and what brown and black people went through in this country. Because of the history of America, that our brown and black students who participate in varsity teams, more so scholarship athletes, and in particular, men's basketball and football, what they're asked to do at the NCAA Division I level, that they should receive more. And so we could have a long conversation about defining what is more. But the most important thing is that when they decide to accept that scholarship to play at the highest level and to do very, very demanding activities to make all of us happy, to entertain us, that we should have strong, very, very strong support systems at these schools for our students, whether that's on the tutoring and academic side, whether it's for access to activities that allow them to have internships, to do study abroad programs, whether it's on the aspect of more attention to their health, their safety. All of those things require really strategic, intentional work by our universities to provide the support system for this. I just don't think anybody would disagree with that, but it's right now we're at the point of how do we make that happen.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stoneman, Kenan Flagler Business School and sports commentator. And Deb, let's shift focus to on-field stuff, because I know big weekend and the weekend continues for Tar Heel basketball, but everyone has been watching NFL football for the last couple of days. Pittsburgh, New England, Atlanta, and Green Bay, the four teams left standing. What's your take on the NFL?
Well, as you know, I'm a Vikings fan, but I just really, really tip my hat to the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is truly an MVP Hall of Fame quarterback. He threw for 356 yards in that big win over Dallas. Dallas with the two rookies, Elliott and Dak Prescott, leading that team. Most of the money out there, all those gamblers out there, they were definitely saying that Dallas had a very good shot having the home field advantage to be in the Super Bowl. But the Green Bay Packer, without Jordy Nelson, their star receiver, Mason Crosby hitting six field goals. And according to Elias Sports Bureau, he's the first kicker in history to make two field goals 50 yards or longer in the final 2 minutes of a game. Hmm. I mean, just ice in his vein. And then that amazing pass that Rodgers threw, a 36-yard sideline
yes.
catch by Jared Cook. I mean, it was just amazing what happened. Now, some people would say Dallas really, they didn't have the momentum because they were off for those 2 weeks, and it took them a while to get them going. But Green Bay just walked into that stadium, and they were hot from the opening series. I also mentioned Pittsburgh. No touchdowns were scored, but they do have the best running back in the league. And I'm sorry, you know my man, Adrian Peterson. He had 170 yards. Antonio Brown, 108 yards. They were just methodical. And for all the seniors out there, we have to pay respects to James Harrison. He's 38 years old, and he's out there playing with these young guys. Mm. He was the one who had that pressure at the end of the game, and he caused the lineman, Eric Fisher, to hold him, and then they did not get their 2 points, so Pittsburgh ended up beating them. But anyway, just a great, exciting weekend of football.
I'm always in favor of, especially as I get older, I'm increasingly in favor of athletes who are older than me, because they're fewer and further between, and the more there are out there, the better the hope is for me one day.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm battling it right now with knees and still trying to play basketball, but you just have to think about what these guys go through. Their bodies, I mean, really at the age of 35 for many of them, they're walking like they're 60, 70 years old. But yet to have someone like James Harrison still playing in such a very, very violent game, I just tip my hat to him as well. But no doubt the Steelers they are going to be ready for the Patriots. Will they win? I don't know. But at least mentally, the Steelers just have this confidence with all the Super Bowl rings and their tradition. They are not going to be afraid of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
The AFC is getting increasingly boring, I think. I'm looking at the AFC Championship games going all the way back to 2003. It's been nothing but New England, Pittsburgh, and whatever team Peyton Manning is playing for that year. With the one exception of Baltimore in 2012, like, that's been it, and it's going to be Pittsburgh and New England again. It's just, I want some other team to get up there one of these days.
Well, it calls for a veteran coach, no doubt. Tomlin and Belichick have been around for years, and it requires, you know, there's so much pressure today on these coaches. You would think you would get 4 or 5 years, but really, if you aren't showing some type of turnaround in your first year,
you're done.
At the latest, your second year, you're done. And I know a number of these veteran coaches have talked about how things have changed, and quite possibly if they started today, they wouldn't get the chance to be able to show their ability to coach these men successfully. So the pressures have changed the game, the dollars, the economics. These owners want a return right away. But I agree with you. It's you know, the NFL is considered the most capitalistic and the most socialistic league out there, because they really, really share the wealth quite well. But on the other side, with having, you know, 4 or 5 teams every year, I'm sure there are some fan bases that, you know, you're going to support for your team. You will support your team. But after the first 4 or 5 games in the season, you realize you don't have a shot for the playoffs, or your team's just not that good. You do check out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got to let you go. But Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.